needed to go out to the store and buy a padlock. So, you know, I was just replacing something that that I needed to for something that I needed. So I go to Harbor Freight, and I start walking around, and I figure, how hard could it be? You know, it's probably over there. I've got a little time to kill. I'll just wander around, and eventually I'll see something that'll point me in the right direction. So I figure, you know, I wandered around for a while, and I didn't see it, and I said, okay, I'll just walk around the up and down that middle aisle. You know, they have the aisles that are long, and then they have the one that goes across the whole store. So I go across, and I'm looking to my left and my right, and I'm looking for anything that would kind of point me to a padlock. So after wandering around aimlessly for a while, I go to the front of the store, and I ask someone, where am I going to find a padlock? He looks up and he points at a sign right in front of us that says security. Of course, where else would locks be but in an aisle for security? The sign was right there. Now, at first, I was really kind of not interested in looking at the signs. You know, I was happy just wandering around and exploring. It was the new one, just opened up. Who wouldn't want to walk around the Harbor Freight? Tools and things like that. I was happy just exploring. But then it got time to, you know, get down to business. I needed to get what I needed to get. And I started looking around because I know the store has signs. And I started looking around and I just couldn't see the right sign. I couldn't find the right aisle. So when I asked for someone, bam, it was right in front of me the whole time. The sign was right in front of me as I'm asking the question. That's kind of like life, isn't it? Before I became a believer, I was going through life and, you know, just seeing what life had for me. Just going through life, trying a little bit of this, trying a little bit of that, seeing what would make me happy. It wasn't until I got the sign that I could see and believe that I knew which way to go, which was the right path for me. Now, today, we hear people talking about signs in their life, don't we? They're always looking for things. They're always talking about, oh, it's a sign. It's a sign. You know, if they see something a couple of times a day, it's a sign. I'm supposed to do something about that. You know, they want to attach random happenings in their life, something that's going on, just because it's just random. And they want to put importance to it in their life. They think these random things are signs from God to tell them what to do. So the question is, does Adonai use signs for each of us in our lives? Does the Ruach's hand look like a black cat when it walks across our path? When we find a dollar on the floor, does it mean there's going to be a sign of prosperity? Or we hear a bunch of numbers that are repeated during the day. It's a sign I should go buy a lottery ticket. People do that, though. They're always looking for signs that God is telling them what to do. Well, we read in scriptures that he does use signs, actually. Adonai will use signs for confirmation and prophecy. Let's take a look at a few times that Adonai has given us signs. Let me turn on my little clicker here. You have to do it? Okay, sound booth says they're going to control it today. Good. So, Exodus 4:28. Let's see. Okay, good. Then Moses told Aaron all the words of Adonai with which he had been sent, along with all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Moses tells Aaron not just what was told to him, but also the signs that he was given so that others would believe what was told to him. This, of course, was the staff that turned into the snake and his arm turning leprous when he put it in and out of his cloth, and then it was healed again. They're outward occurrences so that when someone would see them, they would believe the word that came along with it. The same kind of sign, one that was used so that they would believe the word that came along with it, was used in the Brit Hadashah as well. In Luke, we read about this, about Abdonai giving a sign to the shepherds in the field. Luke 2, starting in 11, a Savior is born to you today in the city of David, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And the sign to you is this: you will find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the manger. There was a word given, and then there was a sign to look for. Yeshua was using signs the same way in John. We read this about what he did and why. First, we see his miracle at the wedding when the water was turned to wine. Then we're told why it happened. John 2:11. Yeshua did this, the first of the signs in Canaan and of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. It revealed his glory to all, but specifically it was to show the disciples so that they would believe in him. He had already given them words of teaching, but now it was time to back them up with signs so they would have no doubt. Then later in the same chapter, we see this, John 2:23. Now when he was in Jerusalem for the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, seeing the signs he was doing. Here Yeshua uses signs, this time to a wider audience, but for the same purpose. Here was some teaching. Here's a sign so that you believe the teaching. These signs were to confirm who he was and that his words were true. This is in keeping with what Adonai has always done with signs. Looking back into the Tanakh, we can see in the book of Daniel where a sign was used to verify who he was. In chapter 6, we have the story everyone knows about in Daniel, right? Daniel in the lion's den. King Darius threw Daniel into the den after being trapped by his own words, because he didn't really want to throw Daniel in the lion's den. But he made a law, so the people who were around him didn't like Daniel and forced the king into doing this. So the king throws Daniel into the lion's den, right? What happens? He uses the lions as pillows. Lions don't eat them. So the king wrote this, Daniel 6:26, starting there. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages dwelling in all the earth, may your peace be abundant. I issue a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, people are to tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He delivers and rescues. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. The king looked and saw Daniel was saved by Adonai. It was a sign, not of something new, but it was new to him. He didn't know Adonai before this, but now he knew truly who Adonai was and that Adonai is a God that delivers, and he should be praised and worshipped. The king took what happened as a sign of Adonai's greatness. Now, he could have attributed it to Daniel. He could have said, look, everybody, Daniel survived the lion's den. Look how great he is. But he could read the sign, and he knew the sign was that Adonai was great. I got distracted by my own sign. That's looking strange. Okay. Adonai uses signs. But should we be the one to ask for the sign? Should we be going around saying, Adonai, Lord God, show me this so I know to do that. When we ask for signs, the correctness really is based on our heart attitude, isn't it? It's always going to be. In other words, it depends on the why you're asking. Let's look at when Satan asked Yeshua to perform miracles as a sign for him. Going to Matthew 4. Which is when Yeshua was already in the wilderness for 40 days. He was fasting for 40 days. And Satan came to him while he was hungry. And we see this exchange between Satan and Yeshua. Matthew 4, starting in verse 3. Then when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are Ben Elohim, the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But he replied, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and placed him on the highest point of the temple. If you are Ben Elohim, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you, and upon their hands you shall be lifted up, so that you may not strike your foot against the stone. Yeshua said to him, again it is written, you shall not put Adonai your God to the test. Obviously, Satan didn't have a weak faith of who Adonai was. But he was putting him to the test. He was demanding that Yeshua jump through hoops to prove himself. To prove himself to Satan. But Yeshua, as we later see, is pretty good at spotting people who are just trying to test them. And we should also not be trying to test Adonai. Now, I'm sure that at one time or another, we've all done it. God, if only you would do this, then I'll do that. We've all done it. Hopefully, it's while we're young in the Lord and not matured in the Lord. We all have tried to make Adonai jump through hoops for us so that we would be proved, so that we would be convinced of who he is. Or maybe you know who he is already, but you wanted to get that nudge. Which direction should I go? Well, Adonai, if that light turns red right now, I'll know you mean not to do this. Otherwise, I'm going to go and do this. Doesn't work that way. Later on in Matthew, the Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to get Yeshua to jump through their hoops as well to prove who he is. Although really, they were trying to disprove who he is. In Matthew 16:1, starting there, we read this. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and testing Yeshua, they asked him to show a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, when evening comes, you say, fair weather coming, for the sky is red. And in the morning, stormy weather today, for the sky is red and gloomy. You know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation clamors for a sign, yet no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. And leaving them behind, he went on his way. Yeshua knew why they were testing him. They already had all they should need to understand who he was, who he is. But they were still testing him, really not looking for a sign. They were looking to disprove. This is why he said that they knew how to interpret the sky for the weather, but they didn't know how to interpret the scriptures for the Messiah's arrival. Just like they knew how to look in the sky and say, look, here's the weather that's coming. They should have been able to look into the scripture and say, look, here is the Messiah who's coming. And look who is meeting all of these prophecies. Same for us today. We may or may not know the sky, but we should know the scriptures. That's our, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. That's our obligation, to know the scriptures. And we should not be asking for signs which would make us like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what should we be asking for when we go to Adonai? We should be asking for the ability to see the signs that are already before us, either through his word or what's taking place in our lives. It's by wisdom and discernment that we see that he's already given us the signs. He's already put these things in our lives by his grace and his love and his mercies. Everything that we need to see really is already before us. Just like the person was able to see the sky and know what the weather would be, we should be able to see what's before us. Just like I should have seen the sign that said security, but I wasn't able to see it for whatever reason. But if we have our spiritual eyes open, we get to see those signs that are already before us. So if you're looking for Adonai to show you his way, a way that's already there, you just need to find it. He'll show you that. This is especially true for a new believer. And now, as a mature believer, you're not supposed to be asking for signs of tests and signs to prove who he is. You should already be there. That's a mature believer. As a new believer, you may get away with it. So why shouldn't we be asking for signs, though? I mean, you know, is it really that bad to every once in a while ask for a sign? Show me something. Show me what I should do. I want to do it. I'm asking for a sign because I want to do what you want me to do. It seems like a right thing to ask for, right? So why shouldn't we be asking for signs? Well, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells us it's just not in the plan of Adonai that we should be asking for signs from him. And that we should not even be asking for trying to reason out our faith. Look at the warning that he gave to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, right in the first chapter, starting in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1. For seeing that in God's wisdom, the world through its wisdom did not know God. God was pleased through the foolishness of the message proclaimed to save those who believe. For Jewish people ask for signs, and Greek people ask for wisdom. But we proclaim Messiah crucified, a stumbling block to Jewish people and foolishness to Gentile people. But to those who are called, both Jewish and Greek people, Jewish and Gentile, Messiah, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And I think Shaul's kind of doing a little profiling here. You know, he says the Jewish people want signs and Gentile people want to figure it out with logic, with science, and with wisdom. I think today we can see that in both Jewish and Gentile people. Both things in both people. We see that there are both Jew and Gentiles who want to see signs in order to believe. Just like we see there are both Gentile and Jewish people who want to try to figure it all out. They want to see the science behind everything. They want to see the archaeology. They want to see the logic in believing everything. Shaul says that both ways are wrong. And that the only way is the way that he taught, faith in Yeshua. But there's another, perhaps even more important reason that Adonai knows that we shouldn't be testing him. Why we shouldn't be asking for signs. And that's because there are others who could step in and show signs and wonders to try to fool us. Let's look at two verses about who could be stepping in with false signs. The first one is from Yeshua himself out of Matthew. Matthew 24, 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen. See, I've told you beforehand. He tells us before it happens so that we'll be ready. So that false messiahs and false prophets, you know, these false messiahs and false prophets, they will do signs and wonders, it says. Not just things, but great signs and wonders will lead us away from him if we allow it. This is the warning all the way back in the Tanakh as well. Moses basically said the same warning, Deuteronomy 13:1. Whatever I command you, you must take care to do. You are not to add to it or take away from it. Suppose a prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises up among you, gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder he spoke to you comes true while saying, let's follow other gods that you have not known, and let's serve them. That's the same warning we heard in Matthew. False prophets will come, tell you of a sign, and fulfill the sign. That's why we shouldn't be asking for signs of our own. And then even then, be careful of the signs that you do see. As true as it was in Yeshua's day on earth, it was from the start of the nation of Israel, and it'll be until right to the end of time. There'll always be false signs, false wonders, shown by false prophets and false gods. This is why we don't ask for signs. Right until the end of the earth, there will be a problem that Adonai has to deal with. False prophets, false gods, false signs, false wonders. People will be deceived because they're looking for a sign instead of looking towards Yeshua. The final battle will still be playing this out. Well, we see this in Revelation. Revelation 13:11 says about the final battle. When I saw another beast rising out of the earth, he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, and he makes the earth and all those who dwell in it worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth through the signs he is permitted to perform, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image in honor of the beast who has the sword, yet lived. Great wonders, great signs will be shown. We have to be careful. Don't be running after signs. So in order not to be fooled, you should never ask for a sign from on high. As I said earlier, and as I've said to you many times, it depends on your heart attitude and the why you're asking for the sign and your maturity in Adonai. In Judges 6, we see Gideon in the story of the fleece. Now, many of you probably know that story. Gideon's a warrior who saved the Israelites. But before this, he was just simply working at his father's house. In fact, he was beating the wheat in a wine press. That sounds strange, right? He was beating wheat in a wine press. And that was to hide from the Midianites. A wine press is a walled hole in the ground. And that's where he was beating the wheat. Normally, you'd want to beat the wheat above ground so the wind would take the chaff. What was he doing in a wine press? He was hiding. He was scared. Doesn't sound like the mighty warrior that he's going to turn out to be. Not the best way to beat the wheat. A good way to hide, though, because others coming in wouldn't see him. An angel comes to Gideon and told him of God's plan, God's will, that he lead the Israelites. When told that he was to lead the people over the Midianites, Gideon said, "Hey, wait here. Let me go get some food and something to prove who you are and that what you say is going to be true." He brought meat and broth to the angel, who told him, "Put it on a rock. Pour out the broth on top of the meat." Then the angel presented a sign by creating a fire that engulfed the meat and the broth. And then the angel disappeared right in front of them, as if the fire wasn't enough. Now I'm going to compress the story a little bit here. But even after these small victories, even after Gideon has a couple of small victories, he's told he's going to be used for this great victory now. Now is the time to beat the Midianites. What does he do? He asks God for a sign. Not once, twice. Uses the fleece. Was it right for Gideon to ask for a sign from Adonai? Adonai already had a plan for Gideon to save the Israelites from the Midianites. He asked for the fleece. I should say his asking for the fleece was really a sign of weak faith. He knew the will of Adonai, but doubted what he was hearing from Adonai. The telling of the story of Gideon was not an endorsement of asking for signs. It's really about the faithfulness of Adonai to Israel. Similar to Moses in his doubts. Moses had doubts at the burning bush. How many times did he say, "Don't send me"? Well, here's a staff that's going to turn into a snake so they'll understand. Put your hand in your cloth and it's going to pull it out. It's going to be leprous. You'll turn water into blood. And then still said, "I can't speak." And Adonai says, "Okay, fine. I'm giving you your brother to help you." Both Gideon and Moses asked for signs. It was because they both really were just so beaten down. They were both new to their faith. Really. We don't think about that as for Moses, but he was beaten down. He was 40 years in the desert. He was chased out of Egypt. Both Gideon and Moses really were new to the kind of faith that they were being asked to have. Moses, 40 years. Gideon, his people, knew the stories of who Adonai was, but never saw it for themselves because of the sins of Israel. Therefore, both of them asked for signs to be built up because they were still really immature believers. Baby believers is really what they were before the Lord built them up to greatness. As new believers, Adonai had grace and mercy towards them and allows for things that mature believers really are not supposed to be doing. It's like our children today, right? Children today get away with a lot of things that adults can't get away with. They're immature. They're still becoming who they're supposed to be. So they can get away with these kind of things. As mature believers, we should already be in that place. We shouldn't be asking for tests. We should be asking for, help me have those spiritual eyes so that I can see what it is that you want me to do. That's where we should be. This is why if you have any kind of maturity in Adonai, you shouldn't be asking for signs like a child. If you're asking for things or healings as signs of the existence or the abilities of who he is, you're looking for the wrong kind of signs when you're mature. If we have faith in him, then he will allow us to see the signs and interpret those signs that are already about us. The scriptures, the instructions that we find in them, the things that he's placed around us already that maybe previously we just didn't understand. Regarding signs, we should be more like a doctor looking for signs, right? Think about this. A doctor has a patient come in. He doesn't do something to try to get a sign to come out. He looks to see what's the sign within the patient and then reacts to the sign. He doesn't have a patient come in and say, show me your sign, let me do something to get a sign to come out of you. That's not the way it works. He looks for what's already there and reacts. What he already knows, right? The things he's learned in medical school. It's just like scripture that we're learning now. Those are the things we need to know and then apply. He's applying his medical knowledge. We're applying our spiritual knowledge in order to react so that we're doing and reacting in the way that pleases him. In Luke 10, there are instructions from Yeshua to the 72 who are going out. What he's really telling them are, here are the signs to look for. If you go into the right house, if you go into the right town, the people are going to accept you. These are the same kind of signs that we look for every day. Think about it when you go into a synagogue. What do? You look for signs. Are the people friendly? Is the word of God spoken there? Am I welcomed or not? These are signs of whether you're in the right place. When you speak to someone, are they argumentative? It's just a sign. But it's not. But it's a sign that's already there. You're not asking for something new. The caution that we must have is when trying to attach something of the world that is seen and trying to attach meaning to it from God. We are not to look at this life and attach wrong meanings to things. You don't look, you know, see a penny. It's heads up. It must mean good luck. We don't look for signs. If someone talks to me about, you know, if two people totally separated from each other talk to me about cars, is that a sign I should go out and buy a new car? That's not the way it works. Maybe it is I. Maybe it is. No. She says no. It is not correct to try to interpret a sign which happens by randomness as opposed to Adonai in Scripture. We know the Scripture from Matthew that says, ask, seek, knock. But what should we be seeking? What should we be asking? What should we be seeking? What should we be knocking for? When we're a new believer, we ask for things that are proof of who He is and what He can do. But as a mature believer, we should be past those things. And now asking for the ability to see the signs that He's placed around us, to interpret what we see. Signs that will point us to Him and the way to Him. And by walking that path, we will live this life the way that He wants us to. The signs will not necessarily be answers to, should I do this or should I do that? Right? It's not, Lord, show me, should I make a right turn or should I make a left turn? It's not even always, Lord, should I take this job? Should I not take this job? He may not, you know, turn a light red means you don't take the job. Turn a light green and it means I should take the job. What it is, Lord, this is what we should be asking. Lord, show me what you want. Show me through the wisdom and discernment that you've given me, and show me through Scripture where I should be going. So, do we ask for signs? Yes. But we don't ask for signs to test. We don't ask for a sign, Lord, if you jump through this hoop, I'll know what to do. That's not the sign we ask for. Lord, open my spiritual eyes so I see the signs you've placed around me. Open my spiritual eyes so I see the signs you've written in Scripture and can interpret them correctly. Those are the signs we look for. That's how you're going to know if you're a mature believer. What signs am I looking for? What signs am I asking for? And what signs is Adonai showing? Father, we thank you that you are a God that we can trust, that you are a God that we can look towards, a God with answers for us, a God who never just leaves us floundering about, but you a God who we can look towards and get answers to, answers that will come through different ways, but always to be interpreted through discernment, always wisdom, and always through your Scripture. Ruach HaKodesh, when we're looking for signs, let it be that we hear your words, whether they be from a trusted brother or sister, or the words of Scripture. Let us not look to the world where we'll just be fooled by false prophets and false gods, but instead always look to you, to the truth. We just thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name, and everyone said, amen and amen.